Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us a little bit later in the program. We'll get into what is a very busy week for the Tennessee Titans. Looks like they're moving on from Will Levis. Jeremy Fowler putting that out there last night. Mason Rudolph going to be the starter moving forward, at least this week. Interested to see what Brian Callahan has to say on that front later today.
Hey, you about to rip the Titans?
I am.
Well, apparently the radio signal just died. This is absolutely sabotaged by the Titans. We're still on streaming, though. You can still That's rip good. Them on streaming.
That's good.
Yeah. We could change the segment and be like, so, your Mount Rushmore of worst Titans season. Hey, by the way, let me get to this one, though, seriously.
Okay.
I love this. I love this idea. My God. See, this is why I need you on the text line. Where'd it go? Okay, I'll have to – wait, what? We're good? We're on the radio?
No, I'm just saying wake up and pay attention to your text.
Well, I'm paying attention, but it just goes so fast. Oh, yeah, here we go.
That's Rich coming from the guy who's asleep in his chair when he both walked in the room.
Hey, man, late night.
I know. Izzo was about to smack you in the back of the head.
Yeah, Izzo in his Grinch sweater.
Yeah, you know, I know. It was like, wow, you're wearing that today, too. Did you not shower? I mean, did you wash it? Like, but it was pretty awesome Grinch sweater.
Sounds like cheese.
Thanks. Thank you, Nick. All right, so here's the text. If the Titans aren't going to draft a QB next draft, please don't find a way to be good enough to miss out on the next QB class. Yes. Yes, you really want another season of this, don't you? That's the thing. It sounds good, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
this would be bad enough next year. Then we'll get a good QB. So sure, let's live through that. Yeah, I'm sure everyone would love to live through that.
Yeah.
Everyone would love that.
Well, look, I mean, if you guarantee me that it ends up with – an elite quarterback for the next 15 years? Yeah, I'll do it. It's a tough thing to do as we sit here a year out.
Yes.
Tough thing to do.
A little bit tough.
All right. So there's been, obviously, we've talked about it a lot. Lots of, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just for people to know, apparently, and this is from the text line. Thank you, text line. 106.3 is working 102.5 right now. We're having issues with. So if you're listening on the radio, go to 106.3.
Yep, just flip over to 106.3. I appreciate you guys. Let us know about that.
Of course, if you're listening on 102.5, you wouldn't hear me say that. But you get what I'm saying.
If you're listening in the ether, you know what to do. Over on 106.3.
Help.
So we've talked about the job status of the front office, the job status of the coach. Coach was asked about his job status last week. And all those conversations, at least for the time being, are not going anywhere until the end of the year when the record's final and – we see whatever the decision is, whether it's to bring everybody back, to move on from one faction of it, to move on from all of it and clean house, whatever that decision ends up being at the end of the year, we'll see. The discussion around this right now is starting to drive me nuts from the standpoint of, like, if you're of the opinion that everybody deserves to come back next year and have another crack kick at the can, that's fine. Like, you can have whatever opinion you want to have on this discussion. I need something more than continuity. Like, there needs to be something more than, well, you just got to do it because it's continuity. Like, okay. You know, patience for the sake of patience, a lot of times doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Continuity just for the sake of continuity is a tough sell for me. And here's the other thing. And I heard Willie talking about this yesterday. Well, it's, you know, it's Carthon's second year, but it's really his first. Like, it's really his first in this setup with Callahan, and, you know, he was dealing with Vrabel the first year, so it's really kind of like the first year of the day. Like, no, this is his second year as a GM. I don't know why we all of a sudden get after, like, these, like, reframing of what actually is. This is his second year as the GM. He was in the room and was part of the decisions when they drafted Will Levis. It is on his record. So to sit here and act like this is the first year of the job for Rand Carthon is just not true. No matter how much you want it to be true, it's not true. And, you know, we keep having this discussion around Carthon and the front office in particular. Tell me why they deserve to be back. I asked the question the other day. If you're Amy Adams Strunk at the end of the year and you sit them both down and you say, all right, I haven't really made a decision yet. I need to talk to you guys. Why do you deserve to come back? What do you point to? What are you pointing to if you're Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, and the way this whole thing is going? I can tell you what you don't get to do. You don't get to tell me in the offseason that, hey, You know, we went out, we looked for a coaching staff, and every single one of these guys we got was our first choice and end up 3-14 with a special teams coach that at some point doesn't look like he's ever stepped on a football field before, and this be the result. You don't get to say that in the offseason and just go off scot-free on that. You don't get to tell me that, hey, we checked every box in free agency and in the draft. We feel like we've checked every box in the offseason, and then come back and just act like none of that happened. Like, you don't get to do that. And by the way, as I brought up a few weeks ago, when you start saying stuff like that, it makes me question your competence moving forward when this is the result at the end of it. So look, again, you can have whatever opinion you want to have. I'm getting tired of the, well, it's continuity. Okay. You got to have more than continuity you're bringing to the table if you're bringing this front office back to me. And right now, nobody could give me any other reason other than that.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with anything you said. I think it comes down to, what is that the question? Is the question, what have you done to deserve it? Because you can flip around and say, what have they done to deserve being fired, you know?
Well, I got pretty clear answers on that.
You can come up with answers, but I'm just saying, is that the question? Is the question every year, what have you done to deserve a job? Or is it like, I'm committed to you guys. It's a whatever year thing, and we're going to get through it and all that stuff, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, fair point. Now, I guess my question is, don't at some point along the way here, you have to prove why people should remain committed to you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do good things. Have they done no good things? I would say no.
Is that the bar? Like, they haven't been complete failures in every aspect of the job? Because I don't know that that's the bar that I'm looking for in the general manager.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not.
Like, Rustin Webster did some good things.
Yeah. How long did Rustin Webster get?
I don't remember. I have to go back and look.
I mean, you know, again, this kind of gets into, to me, anytime you get into this, first of all, like, there's just that, like, Amy Adams Strunk's competence and her ability to judge other people's competence. We can all see the product. It hasn't been good enough. I'll also say, look, man, if I second guess something from the start, then that's one thing. I liked the Snead trade. I liked the Awuzie signing. I liked the Sweat draft pick, right? And I'm not convinced yet that all three of them are disasters or bad or great. I don't know. I think Sweat has been okay, but he hasn't been what I thought. Snead, we know, like,
We did some second guessing at the Snead thing from the start.
You may have. If I misremember, that's fine. I think it was worth the risk. We talked about the market and how it was peculiar. Again, I like the Woozie side. I liked what it looked like on paper. Is it possible that Snead, Awuzie, and Sweat next year are part of a good defense? It is possible.
Sure.
So, but I think the thing that you hit on there that is the biggest problem. I mean, other than obviously the losing, but you can, like, there are people who take over bad situations and then the losing doesn't turn around. I know. Sure. John Robinson's the example of, you flipped it right around. It was nice to have a decent quarterback in place. It was nice to have a left tackle, whatever. Jarrell Casey was on the team. I mean, like, he didn't inherit nothing. But the biggest problem is the public messaging and this. And I agree. When you really go through that, then how could we not publicly question competence based on that?
Yeah.
And then it's like, so that's my big question with this is Amy Adams Strunk. Okay. So is that what was told to her? Is that what she believed? And is she sitting there now like, what in the hell happened?
Well, and if it's not what was told to her and what she believed, why are you out there saying it?
Right.
That's the other part of this.
Yeah, sure.
Like, either it was told to her and that's what she believed and this is the end result, or you got the GM out there just spouting off in the offseason. Either one of those is a problem. Now, is it a fireable offense? You know, that's where we can start to get into some of that. But, like, this idea, like, all I hear about when it comes to, well, why should Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker get a third year at this thing? Well, it's continuity. Well, when you continue bad things, a lot of times that doesn't end up working out really well for you. Now, maybe it does. Maybe they get through this offseason and the moves at the end of the Robinson tenure have just totally screwed this team, and it's going to take 3-4 years for them to get out of it. And maybe these guys are the right guys for the job. But you only get to lean on continuity for so long in this league. And I'm about tired of hearing about continuity.
Yeah, it can't be the only thing. I mean, you have
to. Right now, it feels like the only thing.
Yeah. So, again, it's like a few weeks ago, I was sitting there saying, man, Latham looks like a good pick. And you don't just dismiss that you made a good first-round pick. That's a huge thing. Now, did they? Again, he's another one I'd throw in the three guys I just mentioned where I'm like, it's not good lately. I would not give up on him.
No.
Do I think he's going to be good, great, bad? I don't know. So, is it possible they've done some good things? Yeah. This, I mean, to me, it's, you know, you give them this offseason. And then if things don't get better, and they have to get a lot better at the public messaging. One texter here says, the needing to have continuity is a consequence of rash firings by Amy Anna Strunk. She put herself in a position to need continuity by her recent history. My argument to that, though, is if she doesn't think these people are any good, I mean, look, that's where you have to make hard decisions as an owner.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, continuity for the sake of continuity doesn't do anyone any good. Like, you have to believe that they're good at their job.
At this point, the record is what it is. But at this point, you have to have a good feel if you own a football team that people know what they're doing and have had some bad luck or don't know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your reaction to the Titans moving on from Will Levis. At least it appears they're moving on from Will Levis. I'm tired of the continuity discussion. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. More of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. It's bowl season. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Catch the Art of Sport LA Bowl on 94.9 The Fan. Cal taking on UNLV, kicking off at 8 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us now on the program. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Excellent conversation on the way in. I think I have something to continue it with, if I may.
Go ahead.
On this continuity front.
Chad Brinker's a genius?
No. I think I lean towards this side. And I mean, you're on the continuity side, too. I think. But here's the other side of the continuity thing. Right? If you blow this thing up at this stage, the next guys come in and they say, you know, these linemen are too big. I want smaller linemen, smaller, more agile linemen. You know, or they look at the DBs and they say, this is all potentially, but these are the kind of things that happen. They look at the DBs and they say, Brownlee's just too damn handsy. I can't take these penalties. I need a guy who's more disciplined in those things. And what happens is the things that the Titans are building, whether you think it's great or not, I think we can all look at the roster and say, all right, well, there are certain things like that are established. They may not be great, but they're going in a certain direction here. And if they could add a right tackle and a right guard, and if they could deal with the inside linebackers, if they could get a dynamic wide receiver, and if they could get an edge rusher, add that stuff to what they have, and they might be on track. A new regime comes in. None of these guys are my guys, and I want to do something different on the offensive line, and I want to do something different here. And all of a sudden, you're back in tear-it-up mode, and now some of the guys who are key pieces to this regime, who we could all agree are – at least good, may not be seen as favorable guys. Like, we've seen the tight ends pretty much fall out of favor with this regime now, and I think they're looking for a new tight end. And so if they come in and do that, the roster is now restripped to some degree, and the need list goes through the roof again, and they have no draft picks and no capital and – or fewer draft picks. They're down a third. They have no quarterback, and they might have to move huge draft picks to get a quarterback if that's where they want to start. And you're really back down to zero on a roster that has some promising areas, despite the fact that they're not getting results. They could come in and say, well, Jerry Sneed is hurt all the time. I'm not – you know, I want to get out of that as soon as possible and stuff like that. So that's one of the downsides of having new people come in is you have another change of philosophy in terms of how you want to approach things, and people fall out of favor on the roster. Some of them they should fall out of favor on. Some guys should be. But there are pieces here that I think we all agree are the start of something at least. And now you're going to do that twice in a row where you strip the roster and restart. They got to build a roster, and maybe they've started to build a roster here. I mean, there are some pieces, we all agree. A
couple things on that. I hear what you're saying, but then I look at, you know, like John Robinson comes in and says, here, I'll just add these pieces to this crap team that just went 5-27, and we go 9-7.
Well, John Robinson had the number one pick and dealt out of it and had a massive draft haul. You know, he could miss on Kevin Dodd,
but he also,
and still get Byard and Henry.
But he didn't. But he had Jarrell Casey. And yep, he's one of the good players we'll keep. And he had Taylor Lewan. And yep, and like, I mean, I hear you on system and scheme, and definitely there's certain types of edges and corners and things. But I think if you're a good player, you're a good player to some extent. Also, tell me the young foundational pieces here right now.
Well, there aren't as many as you'd like. But,
I mean, some good players who are veterans, like a Harold Landry, who's looking like he's fading a little bit, right? And Jeff Simmons is a good player.
Is on the way out. But
I mean, like Brownlee.
Yeah.
McCreary.
Brownlee, McCreary, Hooker, I think still has maybe a couple years left to him.
I'm not giving up on Latham. Like, Latham shows some
Latham
good things.
Latham and Skaronski, to me,
you
have to go forward with.
Latham is a found. I would call him a foundational.
Oh, Westbrook Akine now. You know, you need to outbid people for.
There we go.
Well, here's my flip side. Of
You know, what if you come in and say, you know, I don't like the split, this concept of a split backfield, and I'm not interested in throwing to my running backs. I want a workhorse running back. Now, how much would that suck if a new guy comes in and wants what you had and gave up and spin around?
Well, here's my flip side of what you just threw out there. Let's say they keep him. And continuity is really important to them. Well, they still got to find a quarterback. So you go and you draft a quarterback this year, and things go poorly again next year. You're 5-12 or whatever it is, and Amy decides that she's had enough of that after next year. Well, then you've drafted a quarterback, and now you're restarting again with a head coach and a GM that didn't select that quarterback, and you're starting all over again on that front. I mean, that doesn't sound like a very appetizing scenario to me either.
I'm you know, not completely against that. I think Callahan deserves a second year. I am not as into Rand. You made some supposition about Rand earlier. You know, does Rand think his job's on the line? We don't know.
I
haven't seen Rand frowning, walking around. You know, Rand's always backslapping and happy. I don't know how aware Rand is of the direness of the consequences, or if he thinks this is just how things go. It'd be interesting. I think he's going to speak the week after the season's over. It'd probably be 15 minutes instead of 30. And he'll get up there and panic and say weird things, and we'll, you know, have a week's worth of things. But the last we heard from Rand, it was ball luck. So, you know, maybe he thinks that this season the ball hasn't bounced their way, and the next season the ball will bounce their way and things will be fine.
That'd be good. That'd be a fun presser. Will that be before or after Amy's presser?
Amy's presser is scheduled for infinity date.
And scheduled for ribbon cutting?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody, and see you later.
Look, this stadium sure looks nice, doesn't it?
I've got indications that the expectation is that there is not going to be big change. Now, the Monday after the season, you know, who knows if she changes her mind and gets, you know, has whispers in her ear urging her to do something else and things change.
Like voices in her head or?
No, whispers in her ear. Right, okay. You're familiar with that concept?
Yeah,
somebody else would
sure.
whisper in her ear. Voices in her head I said nothing about.
Just
so we'll see where it goes. But right now, the way everybody's presuming their big sit-down conversations to review everything, that is not what the expectation is.
No, I understand
I mean,
that.
I think those conversations are coming, but they're coming from a place of what do we do next.
I understand. Like I guess my entire point on this whole thing is, like, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, and this is more specifically with the front office, because they have been here 2 years. No matter how much people want to act like it's one, they've been here 2 years.
Agree with that.
You better have, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, 100% confidence that they can pull you out of this. You better have it. Because the idea of you're just sticking with it for the sake of sticking with it, and you're like, well, you know, I don't know if these guys are the guys for the job or not. I can't get behind that based on what we've seen the last
Well, two I think one big factor there is Rand's salesmanship.
Okay, right? I will counter that, Robbie. So what confidence level must you have to fire them and then you hire the next people? What's that confidence level?
Meaning what?
Well, other way, you're saying you better have 100% confidence that they're going to pull you out if you keep them. So, okay, fire them. What's your confidence level that
she can hire?
You're now going to go get the right people now.
And well, who's helping her do that?
I don't have high confidence level with anything this organization does. But that, again, like, you cannot have a reason to not move on from somebody. Well, we're scared to death the next hire may not be good. That's not how things work in professional sports.
And I would say, just to further my continuity point, and that was a good counter. There aren't that many people that you're worried about them sweeping away. But on the Bill Callahan front, I would be patient on the Bill Callahan front. Right? I think we've seen Skoronski get better. It's unfortunate that it's taken time. It's definitely unfortunate that collectively they didn't size up the right tackle position correctly. But still, I mean, people who are saying, oh, Bill Callahan was overrated, get rid of him.
That's pretty bad.
The alternatives to him, trust us, are not great.
Decades of evidence would speak in his favor.
So you give that guy needs a second year to continue to build Latham, to continue to build Skoronski, to get Cushenberry better, and to start to be the solution to right guard, right tackle.
And finally start turning MPF into an all-pro.
Do you think Bill Callahan interviewed as well to Jason Hoadling?
It's hard to top Jason's interview.
615-737-1025.
I need video of that interview.
Our phone number. We'll have more with PK Kondo next. Get his thoughts on the quarterback switch for the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us here on the program. BK, Jeremy Fowler putting it out there yesterday. Titans making a switch at quarterback, going with Mason Rudolph. That is, after Brian Callahan's comments on Monday, not overly surprising. Levis to the bench Sunday, had a horrible game Sunday. Callahan, I think, was really setting the table in his Monday press conference for the move that he was getting ready to make. And it looks like Brian Callahan is out on Will Levis. So your thoughts on what has gone down and what we expect to go down at the quarterback position this week?
I confirmed. So in Joe's world at The Athletic, we don't have to mention Jeremy Fowler anymore. We could just claim that I had it. Right, Joe?
What?
I confirmed Jeremy Fowler's report.
What are you trying to say about that? What happened at The Athletic?
At The Athletic, once you confirm it, you dismiss the person who initially reported it. You don't have to mention them anymore.
Well, first of all,
that's correct. Just say that's correct.
First of all, this whole, you know, you're older than me, way older, but this whole I must go back, it's a stupid social media thing. And, you know, it's fine. You do it. First report it. To me, what I was taught growing up was that if you have to get information, if you can confirm something, then you confirm it. You know, I never. Like, are you writing something in a newspaper? Like the Detroit News had it for, why? No, we don't do that. Well, now, if you have to lean on part of the initial report and you can't get that reported, then you have to cite that.
Well, I will say, on this one, it's not as important because everybody knew to ask the question. But The Athletic does it on things like where you wouldn't think to ask the question. Harold Landry tears his ACL on a random Friday at Titans camp. You have no reason to ask that question. So you go confirm a report about that. Well, you never would have gone and asked people if Harold Landry tore his ACL on that Friday, but for somebody reporting it. In that instance, you absolutely have to cite the first person that reported it. It's nonsense to say, well, I got the information myself, so it's irrelevant that somebody reported it first. You never would have made the phone calls to ask the question, but for the initial report.
Yeah. Hey, you're kind of whining. No,
that's
right now,
absolutely true. I can't believe that you're a traditional journalist.
That's the social media age of let's all be polite to each other. That's fine.
That's not being polite. It's being ethical.
What,
it what was your
it's
question?
It's not right? ethical, dude.
Oh, your
it's
thoughts on the quarterback
ethical.
Switch that is taking place.
I think it's a mistake. I mean, I don't see what you get out of three games of Mason Rudolph. Even if you're done with Will Levis, it's just better for the organization. You've got Will Levis under contract for two cheap years coming up. Odds are very high he's going to be around. Getting him three more games is better than being punitive here. I don't think the locker room is thinking like, oh, my God, Will Levis isn't being held to the Jaquan Jackson standard. You know, he's talking about, you know, guys looking at that. If you lose Jaquan Jackson, what's the big thing there? I don't give a damn about what a guy who fumbled consistently and got benched is. If he's looking at the quarterback and thinking he should be suffering the same fate that I am, I don't care. Everybody's not treated the same. Everybody shouldn't be treated the same. Did I say tweeted the same?
Yes.
We almost tweet and give each other credit for everything.
So I just don't. I understand the rationale that he's made bad decisions against Jacksonville and then played incredibly poorly in this game, but I don't see the benefit of three Mason Rudolph games here.
I do have a point here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, which sadly I am in charge of and I'm not handling it well. But this texter says people keep acting like Amy's been this rash decision maker, like she's fired back to back 1 year head coaches, GMs. Vrabel got 6 years. J-Rob got nearly five. Just because the game hosts don't agree with the firings, they were not fired without a shot to regroup. There were three complete drafts. Yeah, so, and then there's more here. It's like, you know, not going to read all that. Congrats or sorry that happened to you. But the point, but she did also give the huge extensions, and then she fired one of those guys after the huge extension less than a year later, and then less than a year later after that, she fired the next guy.
Yeah. That's
where the rash decision maker. Yeah, I mean, like there are easily looked up facts on the internet here to counter what you're saying. Also, this person doesn't believe you're older than me, so like we got real issues with this text.
I am 55. Joe,
I'm 51.
Joe's 90.
You're
Joe's
way 50, older than me.
Really,
thank
52
you.
If you round up.
Yeah. By the way,
I'm 54 if you round down.
That's true.
So yeah. We're 2 years apart.
Close. That's true. Keep an eye on the weather out there. Got tornado warnings that have been issued for parts of Lewis, Perry, and Hickman counties in Middle Tennessee. So we got a nasty line of weather coming in. Just make sure that you're weather aware out there this morning as you're traveling either into work or you're listening at home. We'll keep you updated on that as best as possible. But a tornado warning issued for parts of Lewis, Perry, and Hickman counties. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Paul Kuharski with us for the rest of the program as well. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
This is so frustrating.
It's kind of ugly, though.
Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Paul Kuharski is with us as well from paulkuharski.com. Joseph, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. So
your rant supervisor is in.
That was for Kuharski being here, not for the people were clapping, not for the Rex Rant.
Well, Kuharski is going to help with this rant.
I'm sure I am.
Because this is a setting the record straight thing, okay? Now, I got a little triggered yesterday. I apologize, Chase and Big Joe. I called in and started screaming at him, and it's like, whoa, this long is fuse. Not Stilly. Yeah, long fuse.
So, please call him Stillbilly.
Stillbilly. Yeah. Stillbilly, my bad. So, and by the way, Stillbilly, the dad.
Yes.
Congrats, Stillbilly.
Still can't get my head around it. Congrats. Hope everybody's well. Coming back to work too soon. Mistake.
All right, so let me set up the situation here again quickly. This is yesterday a texter. We're talking about John Robinson and the A.J. Brown trade like we've talked about a million times. We'll talk about a million times more. Someone texted me basically, I don't have it in front of me, but it was like, it wasn't John Robinson, it was Amy who traded A.J. Brown. And I said, well, that's silly. And then Chase and Big Joe, and Big Joe in particular, took umbrage with this and basically said on his show that like anybody who thinks it wasn't Amy Adams Strunk who traded him doesn't have a clue about the Titans. So I got triggered by that and I'm texting them F-bombs. I called in him, Joe from Nolensville. We started screaming. But now I want to talk about it with no Big Joe unable to respond to me until later. So here's the thing. This is a setting the record straight situation, just to be clear on this, okay? John Robinson made the trade. John Robinson had the conversation with the agent. John Robinson thought something was done. John Robinson found out it wasn't. Of course he's talking to his owner through this. So, like, anybody who, like, there is the other side of this, which is, like, seriously, like, Amy is blindsided by this trade on draft night or something, right? No, no one's saying that. But John Robinson did all this stuff and was communicating to Amy the situation. She's not talking, you know, she's not talking to the agent. So John Robinson made the trade, guys. Of course Amy Adams Strunk is a part of the trade and signed off on it. So now again, Chase is like, well, I think she influenced it more than signing off on it. Okay, the information I have, and you help me out, Paul, is that we should definitely not take this off John Robinson's record. That's a trade that he made. It's a move that he made. He got upset about things that happened along the way. And also, it's interesting to me, and I'm certainly not accusing Big Joe of this, but right now John Robinson is up for the Jets job. And it's just funny to me. I'm sure it's coincidental, but it's like all of a sudden we're going spin zone on it. Really wasn't his fault with A.J. Brown. You know who benefits most from John Robinson getting the Jets job other than John Robinson?
Amy Armstrong.
Thank you. Now, I'm just saying, like, we don't need to spin zone this crap. John Robinson, it's on his record. It's a huge part of why his tenure failed, and that's also the Treylon Burks drafting. So you help me, PK.
Listen, there's
– tell me what you know.
She may be a bad owner, but she's not. Look, along the way, he's going to her and telling her at some stage of the difficulties he's having with A.J. Brown. But he's the one that's saying, look, I think trading him may be the thing. And she's saying, yeah, okay, like you've made the case, go ahead and trade him. She's not saying, well, John, based on what you're telling me, I think maybe we ought to look into trading him. Prompting him to do that. I don't buy that for a second. John Robinson was pleased that John Robinson had a fight with A.J. Brown, but basically boiling this down. And his conclusion to the fight was to banish him.
And they were, look, this is, I can say, look, I can't speak to like the exact conversations Amy Adams Strunk had back and forth, but I can speak to, I mean, there were people, John Robinson had conversations with other people in the organization who didn't view it the same way he did. And he didn't view it because Amy Adams Strunk told him to view it that way. That's how he viewed it.
And it's clear that John Robinson was on one side of this and Mike Vrabel was on the other side based on the video of the way that Mike Vrabel stood up and walked away.
Someone said that was all him acting. Made. Someone said that was all Vrabel acting even though he was told.
So he needs to stop coaching and go to
Well, how was he totally on board when just a couple months earlier, he said A.J. Brown will be on this team as long as I'm the head coach.
Yeah. Didn't he say, like, trade over my dead body or
he
something
later,
like that?
He later said...
Traded or I'll cut later, off my...
Yeah, no, he didn't I got say that. That. Mixed but up. He no, later no, said, I can't make a definitive claim here on something that he was asked about because I've done that in the past and gotten burned.
Yeah.
So he clearly was saying, like, I can't make pronouncements because I've got a GM who could do something different than my pronouncements.
So again,
he was not happy to lose A.J. Brown. What coach would be? He's got a reliable offensive weapon, and they're trading him for an unknown.
Right. So just the record is John Robinson traded A.J. Brown. Of course, the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, approved, had the conversation. At some point, may have said, get him out of here. I'm sick of hearing this crap. That's fine. But, like, to I think what they're trying to say, the way I took it was
she
basically
instigated.
Yeah, like, John Robinson's like, no, no, no. And he's like, no, get him out. No, that's not what happened,
ridiculous,
guys. Also, Joe Dubin said this. Keezer?
I believe he's on the phone.
Keezer. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Producing a show. Play the clip.
Look at him. He's like, can you just press the button? You just press the button? Here you go. He pressed
Are
the
some
button.
Of the writers in town afraid to say anything because they feel they're not going to get an interview? Because I feel like this might be a case. Like, Joe, you know good and well Amy Adams traded A.J. Brown. She's the owner. She's meddling now with the head coach and the quarterback. Did she just all of a sudden start meddling? She meddled with A.J. Brown.
She's meddling now with the head coach and the quarterback, so she wants Mason Rudolph?
I didn't know. I
think
didn't realize
that's
that.
True at all. Listen, Joe, and I know you're a big fan of mine, generally speaking, based on the way you tweet, and you know that I'll say anything. Afraid to get working to get an interview. I've given up. I'm never going to speak to Amy Adams Strunk again.
Right. That's the thing.
I'm never going to talk to Rand Carthon one-on-one again.
No one thinks they're going to get her.
Nobody thinks they're getting an interview with Amy Adams Strunk. Nobody in that press room is trying to get an interview with Amy Adams Strunk. So you're out of touch with how the media room works. You should do yourself a favor and stop talking as if you know how it works. You don't. You've never been in there that I remember. So go back to being deferential to the people who are in there instead of pretending you know how the mechanics function.
Wow. That Karski was even way meaner than I wanted to be today. But I guess that's what happens when you bring in the pink. When you bring in the lefty out of the bullpen. Yeah, I just.
Yeah, I'm tiptoeing around Amy Adams Strunk in hopes of getting an interview where she says nothing.
Yeah.
Or I could get the Mike Keith treatment.
Well, it gets, you know, and again, this is just the general. It's just the general idea of like, oh, the media is being soft so their access won't be taken away. I mean.
What access?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's
a good point.
Right, but, I guess, like, even this access of going to pressers, they think, like, some people think, which, and Joe obviously doesn't think that. He knows that's not the case. But, like, that, any if you do anything critical at all, nope, you're out of here, kick him out.
Anything
How many times
all,
would you just, be kicked out? You'd be kicked out every day.
My story this morning is Rand Carthon making the roster worse since he took over.
Yeah.
I didn't get a call this morning about not coming to the facility today.
I would like to propose the Titans might consider kicking PK out today.
Can we revisit the idea of Vrabel acting on the AJ Brown trade video? That's because that's what I want to do. I want to embrace that.
Vrabel by then may have come to terms with what was happening. He would not backing that.
As I recall that night, like maybe the first question, didn't you? You were like. Well, you didn't look very happy. Like, oh, well, thank you for telling me how I felt, Paul.
You seem like you're still
right?
A little upset.
Isn't that about what happened? I think that's about what happened.
I don't
You don't remember?
It.
You're way older than me. How could you possibly remember?
I don't remember because...
I love you, Big Joe, by the way. Sorry PK was so mean.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, I just don't know why he's going there. Their ratings seem to be doing pretty well without nonsense like that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the next hour with PK talking all things Tennessee Titans. Lots going on right now on the Titans front. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.